Now, head into the ring at a total combined weight of... the Top Rope Wrestling Podcast!
Welcome to another edition of Top Rope Wrestling Podcast. I am Rick, and Drew is on his way over wherever he is.
I'm driving to the location I'm at?
Yeah, I guess you are. I don't know. My brain's not working. It's kind of shot after the last couple weeks, and next week it'll be even worse. So.
Yeah. I get you. It's my job's busy time of the year as well, so. I'm, needless to say, just about as brain dead as you are.
Yeah, well, the worst part is this is supposed to be the time of the year where it's actually winding down. And because of everything, this is, like, basically they've moved my normal April to August. So August, September, October is going to be, and November is going to be crap. So it'll be fun.
It's our normal nightmare season for where I work, so it's nothing out of the ordinary, just super slammed.
Yeah. So we're going to do a little bit different today. We're actually going to learn a little bit about me and Drew, like how we got into wrestling, how we kind of got to do the show, started doing the show,
just all about us. We never talk about like us, our lives outside of the show.
Yeah.
Now, I did, as I told you before in the week, I did attempt to try to put a show together about the King of the Ring, but I could not find any information that was valid other than what Wikipedia had. And then I would just be doing an entire episode that's just parroting Wikipedia that you could just go read along with me. So I decided, no. I did come up with another idea for a King of the Ring episode that maybe we could do next time, but I just came up with it today, so I didn't want to drop it on. And then I had a different idea for another episode, but it was one I got the idea today when we were talking, and I'm like, well, it's a little, like, to be able to talk for 30 minutes about it, it needed to be, like, me and you needed to think about it in advance as opposed to me just saying, hey, at 8 o'clock, let's talk about this.
Hey, I can totally understand that. I appreciate it. I'm glad it wasn't just, dropped on me.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and start. Basically behind me, I'm a Florida boy. I was born and raised in Florida. Grew up going to wrestling matches with my dad. We used to go to pretty much anytime WWE was in town. Some of the times when WCW was in town, even a couple of indie shows, we'd go out to, normally it was the Ocean Center, the Daytona Beach Ocean Center. Sometimes we'd drive over to Orlando to go to the arena, the Orlando Arena, the O-Arena. Back in the day. That's how I got into wrestling, was with my dad. And my earliest memory of being in wrestling with my dad, I was about 4 years old, and we were watching, I'm guessing, Superstars. He was laying on the ground, and you know how kids get to be kids, start playing around, rough horsing a little bit. And I decided that I was going to try and pick my dad up, and I got him about 4 centimeters off the ground and dropped him. And he never let me live that down as a 4-year-old. And my dad was never a small guy. I mean, he fluctuated in weight, but he was a cop and a mechanic. I mean, he was the real man kind of guy, I guess. At least back when I was a kid, never didn't take shit from anybody kind of thing. And I just picked him up and dropped him. And to this day, that is like the one memory that I have. I have no idea what was going on the TV. I want to say it was either a Hogan match or a Macho Man match that was on the TV at the time. But I was about 4 years old. So that would have been 1985, 86, somewhere in that, or 84, 85. Because I was born in 81. So 85, 86. I was right the first time. That was kind of my introduction to wrestling was my dad. And then all through high school, you know, we'd either order the pay-per-views in the house. Even in college, we'd, go out to one of the bars, and watch the pay-per-view and with a bunch of people. Our bar of choice was the Oyster Pub Oyster Deck in Daytona. No,
it was Oyster Pub.
Was it Oyster Pub?
Yeah, because I used to frequent that too back in the late 90s for pay-per-views.
Yeah, so we used to go. They'd cover up all the pool tables and let people put their drinks on it and eat at the pool tables. They'd have all the TVs on, and it was a friggin' blast to watch wrestling with all of my cohorts, you know, all around. All the people that were really into it, screaming at the TV, cheering. You know, it was... Those are the things that I remember about wrestling, for sure. Well, that's a new noise. Drew, you want to kind of get your start in there?
Yeah. So, I was, how did we start this? You just said how you got into wrestling, or I'm a smidge older than Rick, like 2-3 years older than Rick. I got into wrestling probably after you did. My intro to wrestling was probably in 7th or 8th grade. One of my friends, this would have been late 80s, was telling me about Hulk Hogan and Macho Man and all those guys. And I think I went home and that Saturday watched Superstars of Wrestling. And of course I was hooked on it because there were these big, weird, out there characters that had, you know, that was during the occupational age. So everyone had a friggin' job. I used to go to the O-Rena, the old O-Rena, and see house shows and stuff like that. There is a Superstars of Wrestling from 1992. Actually, it's probably like over the course of 5 weeks because they taped a bunch of them in the same night, where my mom and my aunt took me to it as a surprise. They got me ringside seats. Actually remembered to bring the camera because back in the early 90s, you didn't have a phone with a camera on it. So I have all kinds of pictures from when I was a kid. I have a nice shot of like early 90s Hogan, just real up close. At that show, I am wearing black sweatpants and a Homie Don't Play That t-shirt. So if I ever see that Superstars of Wrestling, I'm very easily spottable. And from that one also, it was the episode, one of the episodes that they taped that night was the infamous Sergeant Slaughter burning the Hulk Hogan t-shirt. And also, Hulk Hogan ripped his shirt, tossed it into the crowd, and I had my hands on it until the guy next to me ripped it out of my hands, who was like 35, and I was a boy.
Yeah, that happens more often than people would like to admit. Like, there are some jackass people.
I would like to find that asshole nowadays, because he's probably like 60, and just punch him right in the face. But that's neither here nor there. Got out of wrestling from probably about the time I got into high school until I got out of high school. Probably bummed around about a year after high school not watching wrestling. And then me and my friend were over his house one night and we were watching TV and he just got to flipping. And we stopped because they had the Slammies on. Now, me and him thought this was the most fucking ridiculous thing, that it was wrestling freaking Oscars or whatever they were, but we were hooked, so we watched it. And from that moment in 97 ish until about 2005, I was hooked on wrestling. I would do the same thing like you. I'd go to the Oyster Pub for the pay-per-views and watch them. Around 2005, I just got bored with it and I took a 10-year hiatus where I didn't watch wrestling at all except for a couple of shows. I think I watched the tribute show to Benoit before it was made to, you know, what had happened. I think I watched if I would hear something was going to happen. Like, I think when they said the Ultimate Warrior was going to be on, I watched that episode. And then sometime in 2015, my friend mentioned it was the WrestleMania. He had texted me and said Triple H was fighting Sting, and I was like, that can happen in 2015? And he said that the NWO had showed up to back Sting and that DX showed up to back up Triple H. And I was like, oh well, the next night I was going to watch Raw because generally that kind of still like come back out and stuff. And I could see these grandpas and grandmas out in the, you know, that I used to like 10 years prior. So I watched Raw. Of course, the NWO and DX did not come out, but I flipped around through it. I watched a few segments. I thought the New Day was entertaining. They were heels back then. And I thought Rollins had just won the title the night before with the big swerve. And I don't know, I was kind of enthralled by his like weaselly type heel character. But I shut it off after probably about an hour. Then the next week, I popped it on for about 15 minutes, shut it off. And then like 2 weeks went by, and one Monday night I was sitting, you know, around just watching TV, and I was like, I wonder what that fucking Rollins asshole's up to. And I threw it on, and since then, like, it's like drugs, you know, you quit and then you come back and then you're hooked forever. That's pretty much where I'm at now. I've been watching since 2015.
Yeah, I definitely got out for a while. I was I took a hiatus there. I remember, like, I was big into the Hitman because I actually got a pair of Hitman's glasses at one of his house shows in Daytona because we were sitting close to ringside. And
did a 35-year-old man try to take them before you could?
No, my dad was standing over me so that wouldn't happen. And so I was big into that. And then I did drop off for a couple years, probably my middle school years. And then in high school, one of my buddies, a really good friend, I'm still friends this day, my buddy Chris, was like, hey, you know what? You should check out, you know, have you been watching WWE? And I think he wore a Stone Cold shirt. No, it couldn't have been a Stone Cold shirt. It was a little bit, but either way, like it was, and that was the Attitude Era. And we started really getting into the Attitude Era. I got in, like, I was in deep. I was reading the magazines. That's where I found originally found Raja.com. It was RajaWWF.com at the time.
WrestleZone was my poison back then.
Yeah, and I used to, like, daily, I mean, not even daily, every time I was at a computer, I would hit up Raja.com and look at stuff.
So I got to ask, because I took this to, like, way too far, like, this love of wrestling back then. Were you ever in one of these? I know they don't have them anymore because I just can't picture they exist. They're like these fake imaginary like e-feds, and they exist only online, and you can be a character, and everything is written. This was back in 2000. I joined one of these.
I know. I know exactly what you're talking. It was like fantasy match or like not fantasy matches, but yeah.
And I had a pretty good character for a while. And then I was really excited at the point where the guy that ran the Fed let me write a pay-per-view.
I do remember these things. I never participated in them, but I definitely remember them.
So, why don't you tell them like how we came to be to meet and podcast?
Okay, so back 13 years ago. I started a job at a local a national TV station, but a TV station nonetheless, in the tape library, and
where a grouchy 28-year-old man was working.
Yes, where a grouchy 28-year-old man was working at the time, we started talking, and we spent a lot of weekends together, or nighttime together, because that was our scheduled work shifts, because we got stuck with the shit shifts a lot of the time. I actually preferred them, but, you know.
Yeah, I've always liked working nights.
Well, not only that, but there was more stuff going on because during the day there was tournament live coverage, stuff like that, where, you know, in the evening they had to pull tape for, you know, different news stuff and different highlights and things like that. So you actually got to do more work, which I kind of time went by faster when you were working or when you were getting to BS with friends.
Yeah.
We had some times where we didn't get to BS as much because the assistant manager would be there, but we definitely spent some time together. So I don't remember how you approached me or how we approached each other or whatever. But we're like, let's start doing do you want to do an online radio show? Is I believe how it was phrased at the time. Because this was 12 years ago or so.
2007.
Yeah. So I couldn't have been there for more than 6 months or so at the time. And it just happened that I had a background in audio and doing sound stuff and had equipment. And so we started doing a show on Justin.tv at the time. We started broadcasting. It was just us BSing back and forth. We had a third mic a couple of times, for a while we had a third mic, like a constant third mic. And then he had to leave because of work reasons. He was our quote unquote token brown guy at the time. It was always a joke, but it was just one of those things that we found funny at the time. We would do crank calls, and that lasted, I mean, on and off for 6 years or so.
It lasted. So we did it for about 2 years. We stopped.
We did it for like two years straight, like every week.
Yeah. And then when I stopped working at that place, we started it again. And that lasted for about another 3 years until we stopped for a little while before we got this going.
Right. I know we did it at least three houses that I lived in. So,
yes.
One of them close to you, the rest of them on the other side of the fucking planet.
Yes.
So we did that. You can still find stuff. If you search R&D Radio on YouTube, you can find the stuff. I think the name of the YouTube channel is /R&D Radio. You can definitely find like old highlights and old clips from the show, things like that. And we always had fun BSing. I mean, it was what we did well. And then a couple years ago, you approached me about doing a wrestling show, and I was like, I'm not really into wrestling anymore. But you're like, well, let's go to the pay-per-view. And then WrestleMania rolled around, and we went to WrestleMania. And then from there, it just kind of, we're like, okay, let's finally get this done. And then
took a year to get it on the air.
Yeah. And then, so about a year and a half, and I own the domain and all the stuff throughout the whole time. And about a year and a half ago, we launched, and we've been doing it ever since. I think we've only missed a couple of weeks here and there. There haven't been many.
To my knowledge, we've missed 1 week. So, and this is the most consistent like we've been.
Absolutely.
Because the other one, we would take like months off of doing it.
Yeah, but we were also doing 3 hour shows. So that was part of the problem. I'm trying to think of what else, wrestling wise and us wise. We go to whatever wrestling matches we could go to. And we went to a bunch of TNA over the years. And I wasn't really into wrestling, but I wasn't going to say no to going to a live wrestling show ever. Like you'll never hear me go, you know what? I don't feel like going to this live wrestling show, especially when TNA was free. You know, we could just go and show up at Universal, and we were there watching, you know, pay-per-views.
You could call me up and say that two people are fighting on the roof of a house, and I'll probably show up.
You're not wrong. I mean, that'd actually be kind of fun to watch. And then we got to, after we started doing this show, we hooked up with the guys from, I had a friend of mine tell me about this wrestling promotion that was going on at Will's Pub, and that they were wrestling in the middle of Mills Avenue during the day, and he was showing me pictures of them wrestling in middle of Mills Avenue, and I was like, okay, cool. So next time they had a show, me and Drew went and we hung out, and we actually kind of got to not participate in the show, but we were close to the action, so to say. So we reached out to the guys who run the Mayhem on Mills promotion and got permission to start broadcasting live from there, and got to meet a bunch of the indie guys. And it was a lot of fun. Like, we've had a lot of fun doing those shows, and it's grown since we started, for sure. I mean, it's come a long way.
And we have another show lined up when, you know, the world gets back to normal, when that one gets rescheduled.
Yes, we do. We have the comic book one, Heroes versus Villains. The guy who runs that really has, I mean, you guys can go back and listen to the old episodes about Heroes versus Villains, 'cause we talked about it the week before it was supposed to happen, before this whole COVID thing. That guy's definitely got some hookups, 'cause he has been, ringside for pay-per-views and everything, where it was supposed to just be talent on the sides He was there at all kinds of WWE events and, you know, Raws and SmackDowns. And so I can't doubt that he has the connections for sure.
Yeah.
And we also got to know through the Mayhem on Mills. I mean, Serpentico and all these people that are now showing up on AEW's, at least their dark shows.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. What else can we talk about ourselves?
What was, well, I mean, growing up in Daytona, I mean, we'll go other side, like outside of wrestling. I am a complete and utter nerd, geek, whatever you want to call me. I am a software developer by trade. So I sit and code all day long. And then we'll watch sci-fi till my eyes bleed. And that, I get that from my dad. I will 100% say that because he brought me up watching Star Trek, and to this day I will watch Star Trek all day every day. And he was a security guard, like I mentioned, he was a cop, but he was actually a security guard for or ran security for a company called Vulcan. They used to run sci-fi conventions in the 90s, pretty much through the entire 90s, early 2000s we were involved with them. And we would go, and he would run security. He'd have to guard all the stars, and I got to have really cool conversations with people. One of the times I got to sit in the middle of, we're at Altamont Springs, I think, the Hilton in Altamont Springs. It was the Friday before the convention, so people were just kind of showing up. Tim Russ, the guy who played Tuvok on Voyager, sat down, or was there with, my dad was there, and he sat down and started talking to us. And he had just directed his first episode. And at the time, I was big into TV productions. I had been doing it all through high school. I don't remember whether I had worked. I know I must have worked on Waterboy at the time. I hadn't worked on 1st of May yet. We started talking about production and working. And one of the other girls that was in our like little crew was big into acting. And he was completely ignoring her questions about acting and everything else and just wanted to talk production work, which was awesome for me. You know, so, and we sat in the hotel lobby for like 2 hours just discussing production work. You know, I got to do some cool things because of my dad. And my dad, unfortunately, passed away
10 years ago.
It was 10 years ago. It's hard to imagine. But yeah, my dad passed away 10 years ago, freak accident. And yeah, so that's my life. I'm also married, have a kid. He's going into third grade. Whenever that whole thing actually gets started, that's just a whole hot mess.
So off of wrestling, I am a huge nerd in all ways. Like I'm a music junkie. I go to concerts constantly. Listen to everything from punk to 90s alternative, hip hop, just everything. I'm always around concerts and music. I, in my other life that is not working for money, I'm a filmmaker. I've made one documentary about stand-up comedy. I've made a couple mockumentaries. So me and Rick worked on a web series.
Yes,
a long time ago. And I'm currently making a documentary about a comic book artist slash owner of a independently run comic company that's been running since the early 80s.
And we also did that. We did the one about the stand-up comedy for the school. I'm completely blanking.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Stoneman Douglas. Did,
yeah, we did a shoot for a stand-up comedy for the Parkland shooting benefit show. So I've done some other stuff. Yeah, like I said, I'm working on a documentary now on a guy named Bill Black that runs AC Comics. I love comic conventions. I am a Star Wars fan more so than a Star Trek fan, which I know Rick likes both.
I do like both. I'm more of a Star Trek than a Star Wars, but I watch them all. I mean, it's hard to put a show in space and me not like it unless the graphics are just horrible. Cause like I can't get into Doctor Who And I know it's not really space more than time, but I have tried so hard to get into Doctor Who, and I just can't. I can't do it.
I don't. What else do I enjoy? A huge mark for Kevin Smith. He's one of the reasons I got into directing stuff. Of course, he doesn't really do documentaries, but then again, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to, like, I got in, like I said, I got into TV productions in high school and really enjoyed all the stuff, doing all the stuff and doing all the work. And we had, like, they used to call it a $1 million studio. It was like a $500,000 building and then $500,000 in equipment. Which nowadays would be awesome, but like $500,000 in like switchers and stuff like that back in 1998, 1997 was not that big of a deal. Or it wasn't that much equipment. We were shooting on SVHS cameras and assembling the news for schools, and then we would do our, you know, we had our shoots that we'd have to do.
I used to have to do that stupid TV show for our school too. So it was supposed to be like, we did our morning announcements via the show every week, or via the every morning via the TV production. And I was in TV production from eighth grade all the way up through senior year. Of course, I went to college for film. But our high school had this TV show that we would run once a week. And it was just different shit put together by the students. And my stuff would always be like either really bizarre. I have a few things. All right. So I don't normally promote my shit on the show, but if you go to youtube.com/DrewMack78, you can see some of my high school videos that I put together, and they're very bizarre and about a sports drink that doesn't exist called Spowerfunk. And the only reason it's called Spowerfunk is because I fucked the line up. It was supposed to be called Powerfunk.
but you fucked it up, so you left it?
Yeah. We made a Marvel Cinematic Universe-like thing out of these fucking Spowerfunk videos. I think there's like 23 of them. I put two or three of them on my YouTube page. But you can check out pretty much everything we've talked about on that page. The documentary I did on stand-up comedy, the stand-up comedy special, our mockumentary that we did. You can check all that stuff out on there.
And we both appear in the mockumentary as well as my dad. So
yes. I didn't realize. Was your dad uncomfortable with profanity?
I don't. He wasn't. Okay, so it was really interesting. When it came to the kids being around, like me being around, even at a later age, he was always careful with it. If you caught him working on a car, like in a mechanic shop, oh, he would drop F-bombs left and right. I mean, he was a fuck shit. God fucking damn it. But when the kids were around, it was clean. And I don't know. Like, it was really interesting.
Yeah, I remember when we were shooting that, and one of his lines was the F word, and he kind of like seemed like he was uncomfortable with it. I always felt bad about making him say it, but it was like it was the line. It was the like when you watch it, it's the only line that's going to work with that.
Right. So yeah, he was not uncomfortable cursing. It was just in certain situations.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what else there was that that he had or that we did. We've done a lot of stuff together, me and you. Over the years.
Yeah.
And it's things have really like it's progressed and changed and altered. Like if you go back and listen to some of the old shows, it's just us BSing, and then we tried to revive it when I had the website, because I ran Entertaining Orlando, which was a blog for a while. It's still out there. It's probably fallen apart. I don't even know if it
all of those fucking episodes are available on
YouTube, iTunes.
Yeah, on iTunes. And every once in a while I will go back and listen to them because they're just fun to listen to.
So yeah, we started to get that back, and we were trying to do everything based around Orlando. You know, that lab, we did a couple of shows. We didn't do a ton of shows for that one. Yeah, I'm trying to think of if there was anything else that we had, kind of projects, side projects that we did. We did 7 episodes of Possibly Entertaining Orlando, by the way, in case you're wondering. And the last one we were going to do, this was a long time ago, but we were supposed to get crunked and go ride the Winnie the Pooh ride at
Walt Disney World. We are going to partake in illegal substances.
Yes. And then go ride rides at Walt Disney World and record ourselves. But yeah, that never happened. That was supposed to be episode 8, I believe. So, the last episode we did was actually our trip to go see Marilyn Manson together. Marilyn Manson and the Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah, that was a weird podcast. Like, it's mostly our drive down there because we got stuck in traffic and it ended up taking, like, from where we were going to Tampa, which should have taken like maybe an hour tops. And I think we got there like right before Marilyn Manson went on stage.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was absolutely insane. The traffic that we hit. So yeah, I don't know if we have anything else that we want to cover. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, let's see. Childhood wrestling fan, filmmaker, music nerd, comic nerd. That's pretty much it. My life.
Yeah. Yeah. So we, you want to go ahead and plug our socials?
Sure. You can find us at Instagram, Top Rope Wrestling Podcast. Also on Twitter at Top Rope Wrestling without the G. Facebook, Top Rope Wrestling Podcast. You can like our page, join our group, start a conversation with us, whatever you know you feel like doing. You can go to our website, Top Rope Wrestling. You can also email us at rick@toprope.wrestling, drew@toprope.wrestling, or just the site, I think.
No, it's podcast@toproprewrestling.com.
I tried. I got greedy. I usually let you do the email, and I got fucking greedy. And I apologize, people who are listening, all 2.5 of you that are listening. I tried to go the distance this week, and I just couldn't do it.
And if you guys do have any questions, you know, let us know. If it's questions about us, questions about wrestling, people that you want us to interview, you know, we're more than happy to try and reach out. We've reached out to a bunch of people. Unfortunately, a lot of them are busy or just don't have the time for us because we're a small podcast compared to some of the major podcasts that are out there.
Yeah, we're not getting people that like Jericho gets on Talk Is Jericho.
Well, obviously not. I mean, we don't run a wrestling promotion.
We should, though.
I mean, we could try.
Rest ruling? Yeah. Like Drew?
Like Drew?
Because it's me. It's my federation.
Yeah, I don't know
about
wrestling.
It's like rest, Drew. No, because it sounds like I'm drooling.